Greetings, Webcology listeners. The ecosystem of the web marketing world is always changing. Technology, and more importantly, radio is evolving. Introducing the next evolution of radio technology for web marketers, the webmasterradio.fm mobile app for iPhone and Android. Listen live, download new shows daily, and stay connected through our social media network. Download the webmasterradio.fm mobile app in the iTunes Store or in Google Play now.
Welcome to Webcology. Webcology is the show that takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Our guides will take you on a journey into web marketing and bring you the experts and the information so that you can further explore the web marketing world. Now, here are the hosts of Webcology, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome to Webcology here on webmasterradio.fm. It is the 21st of February, 1 month away from the first day of spring, thank God. And you know what? It's also, this is the very last time anybody in the world's ever going to hear me say this. Happy 40th birthday, Dave.
Well, thank you very much.
It's Dave Davies' 40th birthday today, friends. And so anybody listening in the Victoria area, he works just across the street from McPherson Theater. It's McPherson, right?
Yeah, it is.
It's 40th birthday. This calls for the bumps. You know what to do.
Oh, God, I got staff listening.
Okay. Beanstalk Incorporated, friends, if you don't want me coming and camping out in your office, and you know I will, bumps, 40 of them. Don't assault them. Don't do anything like that. We would never advocate actual physical assault. But the birthday bumps, it's his 40th birthday. I mean, we only do this once, right? Happy birthday, Dave.
Thanks very much.
This is, honest to goodness, the first day of the real beginning of your life. Life does begin at 40. It is so much fun.
You know, I hear that from everybody who's above 40. I can't tell whether it's true or just, you know, all of us collectively going, let's tell ourselves this so, you know, we feel better.
You know what? There's only one way to find out, and it sure as hell beats the alternative.
This very true.
So, weird week. Last week, we promised listeners it was going to be a pretty heavy show today, and it's going to be. We have on the line two security experts, one of whom, friend of Webcology, friend of Webmaster Radio big time, Christine Schachinger. We also have Josh Dennis from Weird Nation. Now, these two are at the very least on the peripheries of the hacking community. We're going to be getting to them in a few minutes, but a couple things I want to sort of knock off. I'm sorry, from Weird Nation, not Wired Nation, Weird Nation. My mistake. Nope, it was Wired. It is Wired Nation. I'm all confused. Dave, it's your 40th birthday. That's not your fault.
And we circle back. That means we can start forward again.
I blame your parents, actually. You know what? When we get Josh on, we will have him clear up the discrepancy, whether he's weird or wired. He's one of the two, maybe both. We're not sure. Have you seen Yahoo's new homepage?
Now, we've got guests on, so I'm not sure this who you're chatting with.
Honestly, this is you. This is you and me bullshitting for a little while. Have you seen...
Okay. Hey, back to where we usually start our show. Fantastic. I had not... Now I have. Oh, you know, that's a really, really bad statement for the future of Yahoo, isn't it?
It is. Like, I give this great hope. Have you seen Yahoo's new front page?
No.
Frickin'... well, there you go. What do you think? This isn't Marissa Mayer's first stamp on Yahoo, but this is her first public stamp. First face she's showing. And, you know, there's some things about it I like, some things I really don't like. The celebrity culture stuff being pushed right in your face really bugs me.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's back to what looks like an organized web portal.
Yeah, which is funny. I would not have necessarily predicted that's the route they would want to go based on previous comments from Marissa saying, you know, and we've talked about it here on the show, this new focus into search that they're going to be looking at and pursuing. And so then to turn your homepage back into a more portalized setup. is a bit curious. At the same time, we know Marissa's got to have in the back of her head, and we've seen, you know, we see it and talk about it constantly for the last few years from Google, personalization. And so it'll be interesting to see how much of this is actually more geared, you know, right now, you're right, I'm seeing the same thing, right? It's all celebrity stuff, but okay, over time, does it start to learn more and more and more? Assuming I use Yahoo, does it start to learn more and more what my searches are and then adjust what's showing up in, you know, on the homepage itself?
I don't know the answer to that, because even though I have a Yahoo Mail account, like I think everybody has a Yahoo Mail account, like I remember it, I'm not signed in as a Yahoo user while using their front page. I haven't done that like I would with Google, advertently or inadvertently. So I couldn't tell you if it changes, if it learns. I certainly hope it does. That would be cool. For Yahoo, that would actually be innovative.
It really would. I mean, one of the things, just to list an example of, I don't know whether this is a statement about Yahoo or more a statement about our culture. I have to scroll down. Well, I mean, you know, it depends on your monitor resolution. But let's say way, way, way down, and I see the news, Wall Street drops again, data rises. But right up at the top here, I get presented with Lindsay Lohan borrows 1,750. Right, count.
Oh, okay. That was our next story. Jeez, Dave.
and I have to say, I this is, you know, their default priority. I am logged in right now, you know, because I do stay logged in on my Yahoo. I use different, you know, computers to go in and unpersonalized. But really? is it, but you know what? I mean, I won't blame Yahoo for this. I'll blame our culture for this one. And going, yeah, that's what's deemed as the top story right now. And Wall Street dropping is deemed something that's probably about 50 or 60 articles down in importance. So, you know,
that gives you a hierarchy of importance of Yahoo's news page to you, huh?
Yeah.
Now, funny thing on the way to to announcing this. Marissa Mayer went on NBC's morning show to introduce this. But the weird thing is, Yahoo has a content partnership with ABC. So there's a little bit of ruffled feathers there. Nobody's really sure if Marissa Mayer was making an overture towards NBC and to their network when she dissed her content partner, ABC, which incidentally has a higher viewership for its morning show, Good Morning America, than NBC's does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Today Show has like 3.5-4 million people watching every morning, where the Good Morning America has 5.5 to 6 million people watching every morning. But she still went on the Today Show, so there's a weird signal. She doesn't do stuff. She doesn't do stuff by mistake. Anyway, that's our Yahoo stuff. What else do we have out there? There's rumors that there's a Panda update going on. I see a bunch of SEOs from India just flipping apes over the Panda update. Are you seeing anything weird?
You know what? It's really interesting because our ranking reports are running right now. And, you know, they started a couple days ago, and they'll be running for a few more days after now. It is interesting because early signals we were getting were showing total stability. And I'd actually chatted about this yesterday in a staff meeting. Just total, you know, things are up, things are down, but we're talking like one or two, right, for the most part. And unless we're dealing with like brand new sites, in which case, you know, you see the plus signs or whatever. But all of a sudden, the ones coming in from last night and today are showing much more volatility. And without, at this point, I mean, I haven't had time. It's been my birthday, had a birthday party this morning, all that sort of stuff. So I haven't had a chance to do a full analysis of it yet. But it is showing things where it's not necessarily hitting what you would predict. It's not whole overall movements up. It'll be like, this phrase is up 12, this one's down 10, right? And so there's not so much a rhyme or reason that I can detect now. But we see that during every update, right? You hit a bit of chaos right at the beginning, and then you see things stabilize, you know, sort of towards the end of it. So, you know, it'll be interesting, really, really interesting to watch. And you know what? I'm really impressed. I just have to make a note because we were talking about Yahoo, and as soon as you said it, I was like, you know, I've noted it before. I'm going to note it again. Here's a really, really great thing. Even though I had to go, oops, yeah, no, I hadn't noticed the new homepage. One of the great things is we're now able to talk about Yahoo without chuckling.
I know it. That's really cool.
It is. It is. So kudos for them. Obviously, that whole Marissa thing was a good call on their end. And for the first time, you know, you can actually see crap getting done that needs to get done and changes being made that, you know, are being measured and tracked. So it's very good. Very good stuff. Sorry, do you have any other? There's something I'll just jump in here and go. Something that I noticed was cool. I sent you the link here in our Skype chat, but you're a big fan of Wolfram Alpha. I'm a big fan of Wolfram Alpha. And I just got an email from them this morning. And if you go to wolframalpha.com/Facebook, they got new social tracking stuff it's more for entertainment purposes. It's just pulling your data and sort of, you know, it creates a map of here's the words as they're used most often. You know, as it turns out, in my case, LOL and awesome are the most used words on my Facebook profile. But just some really, really interesting metrics. It sort of pulls it all into one place, more for interest. For some people, it may give you some insight into marketing activities. But, for me, I was just looking at my personal one. So for me, and was just trying it a little bit before the show and found it, it's neat. It's neat stuff. So for all of our listeners, it's more for curiosity, more for interest, but you might glean some marketing information out of it. It's wolframalpha.com/Facebook. And just a neat little new tool from them.
Well, the Wolfman put this out, put a similar tool like this out about a year ago, and I remember looking at it and, you know, thinking, I swear a lot on Facebook. I think if you're a brand, this is actually quite useful. If you're running a brand page or a business page, it's going to tell you where your friends are, so who's buying your stuff or who's interested in buying your stuff. Are your messages being amplified? Are people reposting stuff that you post? I love the "What do you talk about on Facebook?" I would get like Republicans, economy, Jesus.
Yeah. But you know what? You bring up a really good point on your word cloud. If you're looking at your brand page and you see the word "sucks" is the thing that comes up the most, you know,
probably got a problem.
You probably got a problem.
Yeah. This is very cool, though. So, yeah, friends, go to wolframalpha.com/Facebook. Check it out. Wolfram Alpha is the information search engine. It's like the Wikipedia search engine without actually accessing Wikipedia very much. If you need stats, figures, conversions, complex mathematics done, go to Wolfram Alpha. It will do it for you. It's one of those ones that, it's one of those search engines you wish more people knew about.
Yeah.
Mind you, it's also one of those search engines. Sorry?
No, go ahead.
It was also one of those search engines not only do you wish more people knew about, but you wish more people would actually have a use for.
You know, well, and that's the thing. They're very niche, aren't they? Like they basically build engines it's all, you know, based on one thing, but they build a bunch of tools that are search tools that really are niche and use specific. But it's one of those things. It's like I liken it a little bit to, you know, your Google Analytics, right? If you tour through there and you see everything that's available, plug it in your brain. And you will find it extremely handy at various points in your life, even if it's just to settle a barroom bet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now there's one last thing I want to touch before we jump to break and then come back in with Josh and Christine. This is a good thing. This is a wonderful thing. Sergey Brin, Mark Zuckerberg, and Yuri Milner, one of the early investors in Facebook, have gotten together to announce a $33 million award for innovations in the life sciences. So these guys are going to be giving out 10 awards of $3 million each for people who put their immense brain power towards making the world a better place. That was an announcement.
How wonderful is that as a use of money? And here's what I really love about things like that. I haven't read in depth on, you know, what is it covering, things like that. But the thing I love when organizations and people like that do things is A, awareness. But B, you know, in this race for these 10 awards, hundreds of things and innovations are going to come of it. Many of which will be useful, many of which will be patentable and create their developers and inventors, you know, sizable money, even if they don't get the prize. But I love seeing these things that really push people to think outside the box, give people an incentive to get stuff done. That we're just not doing yet. So I love it. And is what an interesting trio.
Yeah, indeed, eh? Well, I mean, you know that. You know that Brit and Zuckerberg hang out together, talk about divvying up the world they're conquering, right? They play the conquer like we used to with our parents' inheritance. So, I mean, you know these guys got to hang out. I mean, seriously, if you're running a multi-billion-dollar corporation and you're one of the smartest people in the world, it's a very small club of people who are interesting to hang out with, right?
Right.
So it's natural that they get together. Now, I just want to note, later on in a few minutes, we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of really scary stuff about a free and open internet. But more importantly than the scary stuff, if we didn't have a free and open internet, we wouldn't have the type of innovation that creates the conditions where three billionaires can get together and announce an award for changing the world.
Very, very valid point. And I think you're spot on. I mean, it makes sense that these three stick together because, you know, Mark has very few people he can sit down with that he's not going to be thinking, are they about to ask me for cash?
Or that he hasn't already offended.
Right. Or about to hear a complaint about Facebook because he can always just turn to Sergi and go, yeah, how's that old G+ thing going for you?
Indeed. Okay. On that, it's 1:15 on the 21st of February 2013 here at Webcology at webmasterradio.fm, and we got to take a break. It's an opportune time. We got two great guests coming up. I want to give them as much time as we can. So let's break now. We'll come back with Christine and Josh in just a few minutes. Friends, on behalf of Dave Davis from Beanstalk SEO, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. You listen to Webcology on webmasterradio.fm. I'm getting coffee. You're listening to commercials. Stay tuned.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology. We'll be back after this short break.
WebmasterRadio.fm has compressed thousands of podcasts and all of our radio shows into the ultimate internet marketer's knowledge base. Introducing the new WebmasterRadio.fm mobile app, absolutely free and now available for iPhone and Android users. Listen to our live broadcasts at the push of a button or access our complete archive of shows, past and present, like SEO 101, Affiliate Buzz, The Shoe Money Show, The Daily Search Cast, and so much more. Read through our blog for continuous industry news and programming updates, and socialize with us through all of our social media channels, including Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and YouTube. Download the new WebmasterRadio.fm mobile app, a must-have for every internet marketer on earth. Download it now from the iTunes Store or the Google Play Store today.
Ever wondered how you could have access to your own SEO expert, paid search specialist, or social media wizard? Looking for help with your affiliate, display media, or email marketing? Look no further than the folks at Fang Digital Marketing. Fang Digital specializes in both paid and organic search, social media, display, and mobile advertising solutions, and is staffed by industry veterans from Google, Yahoo, and one of the industry's most influential PPC experts. Fang Digital's award-winning staff stays on top of the latest in digital trends and offer tailored solutions so they can audit your progress and build a roadmap to your success. Learn more about their expanding range of full-service strategic marketing solutions at fangdigital.com. That's FANGdigital.com.
The SES Conference and Expo is making a springtime stop to New York City, March 25th through the 28th. SES New York 2013 is moving to a brand new venue in the heart of Times Square at the New York Marriott Marquis. Register now at sesconference.com. SES New York 2013 features some of the best and brightest minds in search and social marketing with keynote addresses by top-level executives from Google, Twitter, ESPN, and more. SES New York 2013 will also feature a loaded expo hall and Texpo Pavilion, on-site training by the ClickZ Academy, WebmasterRadio.fm's annual search bash, and so much more. Register before Thursday, February 21st and save $600 off early bird registration. SES New York 2013 at the New York Marriott Marquis in the heart of Times Square, March 25th through the 28th. Register now at sesconference.com.
Commercials off. Now back to Webcology, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Webcology here on WebmasterRadio.fm. It's the 21st of February, 1 month away from spring, and we have on the line, in the darkest days of winter, we have on the line Christine Schachinger and Josh Dennis. Now, we're not really sure where Josh is from. He's either from Wired Nation or Weird Nation. I'm not sure which, and I'm not sure it matters. Josh, clear the discrepancy. Are you weird or are you wired?
Officially, I'm wired, but behind the scenes, I am definitely weird.
Okay. Let's just jump. I just want to dive right in. We're talking hacking, protection, how weird it is out there, or how wired it is out there, and what webmasters can do to protect themselves, probably somewhat in that order. But, okay, so anonymous hacker dumps 600,000 emails from most popular Israeli web portal. Malware attack on Apple by hackers who targeted Facebook. New Mac malware opens secure connection for a remote hacker. And those are just three articles I might also like if I liked. Facebook Oath flaw gaining full control allows gaining full control over any Facebook account. Now, I got to tell you, I like that. So I also like these other articles. And everywhere I look, the New York Times is getting hacked. The Apple's getting hacked. Facebook is getting hacked. The Toronto Star is getting hacked. I heard a saying out there, Christine, and how true is this? There's two types of corporations in America. Those who've been hacked and those who don't know they've been hacked.
I think there's probably pretty good saying.
Okay.
There's probably some that have not been, obviously, but anything connected to the internet obviously has the potential for being hacked.
So that makes me a poor webmaster who's responsible for more client websites than I currently care to think about because I'm kind of scared. Throw my hands up in the air and go, oh, my God, what do I do? Well, Josh Dennis from Wired Nation, why is there an uptick in hacking news now?
Yeah, I think a lot more people are willing to come forward and say that they've been hacked. You recall a couple of weeks ago, the New York Times came out with a front page story about how Chinese hackers have been going through them since October. And within a few days, there were probably four or five other large disclosures. So I think people have been getting hacked for years. They just haven't wanted to show it for fear of upsetting their investors or their customers.
Okay. So is there an uptick in hacking? Is there an uptick in reporting?
The face of hacking is changing. We see a lot more state-sponsored hacking. Which means a higher level of skill. You have teams of hackers now who are throwing themselves at a problem or like getting into a specific industry or stealing corporate data from, you know, across a wide range of different entities.
Okay, so state hacking is much like it could be corporate espionage as much as it may be trying to infiltrate the critical security infrastructure of a nation.
Yes, exactly. Taking over gas lines or electrical systems.
Okay, so I mean, this is the stuff of dystopian science fiction novels. How real is it?
It's very real. If you look at Mandiant, who has been in the news a lot for the New York Times and Washington Post, researching the hacks that happened at those places. They've been tracking these entities who are doing the hacking for years, and they have numbers for them. APT1 through APT22 are just hacker groups, discrete hacker groups out of China, and they're following people all over the globe.
Recently, it was announced that there is a unit in the Chinese army that apparently has "Born to Hack" stenciled on the side of their helmets. No one knows if that's real or not. The Chinese government is obviously denying the validity of that story, but, it's safe to assume the Pentagon has a hacking unit or a cybersecurity unit at any rate. Is it also safe to assume that Russia and China and, maybe France, Iran, North Korea, Japan, Canada, and whomever else also have such units?
I think everybody except for Canada.
Hey. Maybe we don't. Look at the back end of a Timmy's store. That'll tell you. Of a Timmy's coffee. That'll tell you.
Dave, just rear up the rim and you'll find out.
Dave, you don't remember a client sites. Do you ever worry about a client getting hacked?
I've had clients who've been hacked. I've had to fix problems. I mean, a lot of them on more, sort of rudimentary levels. And, I think all of us have had that call from, often it's a new client or somebody you're not actively working on. And so there, I know I got a call from, somebody who we'd never worked on before, and our site's down and our developer can't fix it. Well, they didn't update WordPress, right? just the basic level of all I had to do is click a button and your problem's fixed. So I don't know what your developer was doing. I've fortunately not had to deal with things on the same level. And I hope, the other people in our audience and on the phone right now haven't either, dealing with things, like the issues of, that Sony is faced and, those sorts of things where we've actually got, massive pulls of, more personal data. If you get a little spam message on your homepage, that's one thing and easily remedied. If you lose a bunch of personal data, and I think that's more what we're talking about right now, that's, to me, the real threat. Unfortunately, we've never lost credit card data or anything like that.
Well, okay, Christine or Josh, whoever.
Real quick. I would say, though, we deal with a different kind of hacking in the SEO industry, and that is using hacking techniques to manipulate sites so that you can either take away someone's rankings or that you can sell things on people's sites. So someone might hack a Gov site and use the Gov site to sell their product, or they might use a cross-scripting attack to de-rank somebody's site. So we deal with it at a different level.
Okay. Now, that's funny. I have never had a malicious hack. I've never had to deal with a malicious hack as an SEO in my entire career. That's not to say that it doesn't happen. It's just to say I've never had that experience.
So you fall into the second category of people who don't know that they've been hacked yet.
Yeah.
Well, those would be my clients, Josh. Those would be my clients. Me, I have been hacked. It happened once on an old site of mine. Freaked me right out. But that was years and years and years ago, and as far as I know, it hasn't happened again. No.
You can often see it in the Google forums when people have had it happen, when they just don't understand why their site disappeared and there's no apparent penalty that would have occurred on their site. Often that's okay. Because there's sort of action that's occurred, some sort of black hatting, what we call now negative SEO. I hate that word. It sounds so minor. Often that's what has occurred. And government sites are infamous for having stuff being sold on their sites. So you can see on .gov, you'll see Viagra and search for .govs, and you'll find that it's being sold on a lot of .gov sites.
Okay, so here we go.
You probably get good prices on it there, too.
Everyone is going to Google something and typing Viagra.gov. Oh my god. Okay, everyone, just for kicks, go to a browser and type viagraspace.gov. Oh my goodness. So yeah, how do they do this?
There's also the hacking techniques to hide it from the .gov that they're actually been hacked. So most of the .govs don't even know that it's occurred.
Oh, indeed. Although clearly a simple search might tell them.
But their own analytics might even tell them too. But you can't find it on the site when you go search for it. When you try to locate the hack, it's very difficult to find.
For segment number two coming up in about 15 minutes, let's sit on this one because clearly here's an action item for people to check. Do a search on your domain with a bunch of hack friendly or spam friendly keywords. Wow. Just for the listeners who haven't done this themselves, ViagraSpace.gov pulls up 2,800,000 results. 2,800,000, give or take, results. That doesn't mean they're all about Viagra on government sites, but that's still a rather large number for, I'd expect to see that a little bit smaller, or I'd hope to anyway.
Well, it would be a little smaller. I actually just forwarded a link if our listeners want. I decided to go a little spammier than you. to sort of refine that list and become a little more interesting. But hey, if I was a spammer hacking sites trying to get that in there, so I adjusted the query a little bit, and you'll find what you're looking for much faster if you just search buy Viagra online site site:/.gov. There you are. And it's a little over 10,000.
So you know what? Several thousand people are getting away with this. And this is as you said, Christine, this is kind of it's annoying. It's certainly trespassing, but this is a low-level hack. It's not taking over someone's website or stealing people's information.
No, but for the sites that some of the hacks that they do will take someone out of the index. And at that point, when you take someone on the index, you destroy their business. And so at that level, they may not be taking their information, but you've taken someone out of the index and you've destroyed their ability to make money. So,
For the city of Aurora, Texas, seriously, Dave, you found it.
Hopefully you did that on a Mac.
Yeah. Aurora, Texas.
Oh, don't get me started there. We've got important stuff to discuss.
Subdomain problem. That you need to control this. Oh my goodness. Anybody listening in the audience who lives anywhere near Aurora, Texas, have some fun with your mayor. I will. And we're laughing in the face of the devil here. This is, I don't want to be alarmist. I don't want to sound alarmist. But, if you can get away with this on a government website, what are most webmasters who don't have the capacity of a nation state or a city or an organization the size of any government? What's a webmaster to do here? What are we supposed to be looking out for? Josh, if you were running a website, what would you be watching out for?
Yeah, well, a good place to start is the OWASP Top 10, which is a list that the Open Web Application Security Project comes up with every year. It's the top hacks, basically, the low-hanging fruit that the hackers are going after every year. And in that list are things like patching your servers. Dave actually brought up a good point earlier when he was talking about the webmaster not keeping up with updates. A lot of times what happens is a web developer will design a website for a client, and then they'll walk away, and that's that. And then a few weeks ago, Ruby was in the news for a bunch of vulnerabilities. Well, is that developer going to go back to all of their clients who they've cut the final check and they're all done and go back and patch the systems that they have in place, or even keep track of the clients where they actually use Ruby?
Well, I mean, I think that's going to raise an interesting question in the future. When, as developers or as webmasters, when does our responsibility begin and end? Does it have to be spelled out in a contract? Is there going to be a lawsuit somewhere in the future that's going to hit some poor webmaster that's going to become our big test case?
Yeah, exactly. And then the responsibility, what if you update Ruby and it breaks all of the functions that you have in there? Then who is responsible for paying for that webmaster who was trying to do the right thing? and you know, taking care and reducing their vulnerabilities.
Indeed, you know, this the most recent update for WordPress, they actually had to release two versions of it, even though it's still numbered the same. I don't know why I did that. First day it came out, I updated part of a large network I run, and it started breaking websites.
Oh yeah, and that's an oops update.
Well, that's because the plugins, you know, the various plugin makers hadn't caught up with the update. So, you know, we had to wait a couple days and then install throughout the rest of the network. But those first websites were pooched. You know, the first couple we did it on, they got pooched. So, you know, I had to make the embarrassing phone call to the client. Look, dude, I'm sorry. I pooched your website doing the right thing.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to interrupt him.
Oh, no, go for it, Christine. Go, go, go.
It's just you mentioned plugins, and that's something else that website owners have to be careful of. Plugins for like things like WordPress. Something that maybe less credible plugin developer will do is, because people will just kind of take them from wherever and put them onto their WordPress site, is they will make a good plugin and inject their own other code into it. So like, I know one person that like used a plugin that a lot of people used, about 300,000. To be able to put a link on anybody's page. That was the bad part of the plugin that people didn't know about. Of course, now I've got away from him, and it's on like tens of millions of sites, and he can't control it anymore because people copied the code, changed it, and changed it. But the point being is, you have to be very careful where you get your plugins from, because your plugins, if they're not from a reputable place that's very well known and security tested, then you could be putting what looks like a good plugin on your site that has hacked code on the inside. And I'm just saying hacked code to be simple and lame in there. But
okay, now, we're going to be going to break in a few minutes. But before we do, like, you know, it's always good to go to break on a note of drama, right? I want you two to scare me. Why are these people doing this? What possible reason does somebody have to waste their time hacking somebody else's site or stealing a whole bunch of information or getting credit card data? What's it worth to them?
Yeah, well, in the case of China hacking, there's a couple of things that are going on. They attacked Coca-Cola when they were in the middle of negotiations with them, and it was a way of getting intelligence on what the negotiating stance was of the Americans.
Okay.
They also wanted economic advantage, so stealing blueprints, stealing intellectual property.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of organized crime, they want money.
And all this stuff can happen to you while you're just minding your own business, minding your own business.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's a couple minutes to kill before we hit commercial. There's other types of hacks as well. Christine, you were mentioning earlier the kind of SEO hacks where, you know, people might use a bot network to gain clicks or to make it look like links are naturally building. How prevalent is bot hacking in the SEO community now?
I think it would be better to it on link building itself. The kind of hacking I'm talking about more is where they actually inject code into your site to cause your site to devalue. So they might, someone might inject a piece of personal data onto a page and then report to Google that this has my social security number on it. And then that pulls up everything from the index. Or they might cross script. There's one site where someone cross-scripted and then cross-scripted back again, where they actually stole all their content and then their store and then used it on another site, and then Google ranked that site over their own. There's also proxy jacking, which I will not explain, but you can actually use that to make a site disappear in days completely from the index, and it's almost impossible to recover from. So those are on-site hacking, where the botnet stuff is more for like for getting visits, getting traffic, fraud.
Filling out forms.
Filling out forms, CAPTCHAs.
Yeah.
CAPTCHAs, ask a hacker about CAPTCHA, they laugh at you.
So CAPTCHA only annoys old guys like me. It doesn't actually annoy the hackers anymore.
Exactly. Is that a 1 or an L?
Oh, I don't know. I thought it was a 7. God damn. You and you people in your young eyes, darn it! Okay, folks, we're it's 20 minutes to the hour here on the 21st of February, 2013. We have on the line Josh Dennis and Christine Sassinger. On behalf of Dave Davies from Beanstalk SEO, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. We got another segment coming up. We're going to be talking about what you could do as a webmaster to protect yourself. But before we do that, we kind of have to make some money here on the network. So we got some commercials coming up. Stay tuned. More Webcology after these messages.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology. We'll be back after this short break.
Rise, links, and web indexes. Take a bow to the largest link map in the world. Majestic SEO. Majestic SEO wields its virtual sword with speed and accuracy to deliver detailed reports of your company's link data and that of your competition. Let Majestic SEO make you your own king of internet marketers and join the crusade of clients and agencies that have chosen the noble choice for link intelligence. MajesticSEO.com. Maximize ROI to use your time and let Majestic wield its mighty sword. MajesticSEO.com. It's good to be king.
Discuss and shape the future of performance marketing in New York City, March 12th to the 13th at the Performance Marketing Insights Conference. Come hear from and talk to other global industry leaders as they share how they're developing new revenue streams, deploying the latest technologies, preparing for increased regulation, and leveraging for the most effective digital advertising channels. WebmasterRadio.fm listeners can save 15% on registration by using the promo code WEBMPMI15. That's WEBMPMI15. For more information and to register today, visit PerformanceMarketingInsights.com.
Aim Clear. This is how you sell with social.
Have you tried to do CPA conversions using social PPC and failed? You're not alone. These days, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube require true specialists
to dominate. Aim Clear, the agency,
brings definitive psychographic targeting,
bleeding edge creative,
and killer content amplification to the social advertising table.
Aim Clear. This is how you sell with social. Aim Clear. This is how you sell with social.